talk of Jesus in our lives beyond the boundaries of this place. Amen. Please be seated. Since the age of self-determination, I would not have been seen dead in anything other than Levi 501s. In fact, I have broken that tradition. Just a fortnight ago, I bought my very first pair in my lifetime of non-Levi jeans. They were a little bit long for me, and I have to pay due respect to Barbara over here, who graciously turned my bottom of my trousers up for me. I mean, have you ever tried to sew through four layers of denim to get them to fasten? No, obviously, it's the way the gents all go. No, I don't do that. I don't do that sort of thing. Well, thank you, Barbara, but that's what happened, okay? But I want to ask you the real question about that particular experience today, which is, how do I know that my Levi's are the real thing? Now, I am looking for you to answer me. Feel free to talk to me in this sermon, okay? The question, how do I know that my Levi's are the real thing and not the fake jeans that I bought 2 weeks ago? Dave, speak up so these good folks can hear. They don't string. Oh, now, when I first got Levi 501s, I used to put them on and sit in a bath so that they shrink to fit. Do you remember that? Yeah, okay. So I'm proving at least I use 501s. No, that's not the way that they don't shrink. How do I know that these are authentic Levi's? Actually, I've got better check that fact now. Gwen, now you said that. Yes, it is, okay. Yeah. Many people seem to think that label is what makes them Levi's. It's not. That label is actually something that has changed over the 200 years that Levi's have been around. You can almost tell the age of the pair of Levi's by the label there. Gwen is quite right. They have the word Levi on them. And believe it or not, it's this little red tag. Okay? Actually says Levi's. And it is the thing that marks the Levi's out as being authentic. The brand name that's on those Levi's then confirms their authenticity. And if you don't find that red tag, you don't buy them as Levi's. Now, when I was a teenager in the 60s and early 70s, there was actually an obsession around that time. Somewhere, the myth arose that if you got six red tags and took them to a Levi's store, they'd give you a free pair of Levi's. So you can imagine what teenagers got up to try and get the red tags. And that included why you were still wearing them. So you had to be extremely careful of your red tags. Actually, it was a lie. You couldn't get a free pair of Levi's. Real shame, I suppose. But there we go. Teenagers are easy to bamboozle. But I want to ask you today to reflect with me on this idea of branding items. After all, it's something that's actually very common in our age and in our society. So I'm going to put you to the test. I've got a little quiz that's going to come up on screen. I want you to tell me what the image that comes up on the screen is about. Okay, what does it represent? So Debbie, give me the first one, please. Starbucks. Well done, Bob. Having done my jeans, you win the prize as well. There you go. Okay. Right, second one, Debbie. Starbucks. This one. I'm just going to claim that you're a bit biased, darling. Okay. Anybody else know what this one is? It is church. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? It was the back. Carol, one for you. Right, next one, Debbie. Ooh. Instagram, Phil. Yeah, there you go. Next one, Debbie. Oh, all I could say is the church is thrashing you lot, so come on, join the conversation. Who said apple? Sarah? Sarah? Next one. Yeah, that was a voice over there. Where did that come from? Oh, right, sir. Watch your teeth when this one comes in your direction, okay? Well done, yes. Magnificent catch. I understand there's some vacancies in the English team. Are you available? Next one, please, Debbie. Tony, well done. British Rail, that defunct company. Next one, please, Debbie. Yes, Carol, well done. Next one, please. Oh, well, I'm not sure I can split one whisper into 50 folks. So I think, Francis, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Okay, next one, please. Children in need. Who gave me that one over here? Gwen, it looks like I can't fight you off any longer. Okay. Next one, please, Debbie. No, it's not the poppy appeal. Royal British Legion. Well done. That was Joan, was it? You're getting thrashed over here. You are entitled to speak to me. You know, I may be a clergy person, but I really am a human being underneath this lot. Speak up louder for me, please. Next one, Debbie. Ah. Ah, it gets a bit harder now. Go on, Kathy. Trussell Trust, the food bank people. I think that's the first couple that've got a chocolate. Yeah, and we've got one more. Now this is a highly selective one because it comes from a very narrow band of people. No, it's not poppy appeal, Roger. No, sorry. You don't get a whisper for the wrong one. No. Anybody know this one at all? Nice try, Joan. Joan's working on what my hobby. She's saying something to do with beekeeping, but no, it's not. Oh, it looks like I've got a whisper right at the back. Yeah, little girl. What did she say? It'll do. Go on, she can have one. It's the tear fund, okay? Tear fund. Okay. So the point I want to make, and which you've all illustrated, well, at least the church has illustrated really well. I'm sorry, the family let Raina down there a little bit. But the point I want to make is that branding gives an identity and a distinctive mark to products so that we can get the message across. It's not a new idea. Branding is actually a very ancient idea. It's got a historical context. So in ancient times, when nations and kingdoms wanted to talk to each other, there was no such thing as email or social media, not even a fractured postal system. There were no telecommunications, radio, Morse code. So how could ancient kingdoms get conversation underway? And the answer lies in the appointment of an office that still exists today called ambassadors. Okay. National leaders would receive an individual as a representative of a power. But the question remains exactly the same as, how do I prove that my Levi's are Levi's? How do we know that it's an authentic voice come from an ancient power? The answer lies in branding. In many ancient societies, the way that an ambassador proved that they spoke with the authentic voice of their king is that they were quite literally branded. Using red hot irons, they carried the mark of their king upon them. Now, the language hasn't changed. In fact, it's even stronger within our society in the way that we term this word branding. But, my goodness, the method has. In olden days, you proved that you were the authentic voice of your king by the brand that you manifest. So what's this image that I've tried to paint in your minds got to do with Raina's baptism? Well, strangely, I'm going to suggest to you it lies at the very heart of our act of worship today, in which Raina is our focus. For this morning, as through the millennium of the Christian era, we continue to brand, to mark candidates who wish to join this faith community with brand Jesus. Clearly and thankfully, it's not with red hot irons. But in this service, all of you will be witnesses to an action whereby I mark Raina out as an ambassador for her king. I will sign her with brand Jesus on the forehead, the sign of the cross. Now, you may not see it beyond the limitations of this service. But it remains a fact that all Christians, as a result of their baptism, have been given this identifying mark. They carry the brand of their king. So let's just for a moment think a little bit deeper over this power of symbolism, because silent ambassadors are not fulfilling their commission. When our society, as it so often does these days, asks who will speak the Jesus words into situations and peoples, are they met with silence? Or do the ambassadors of the king speak with the authentic words of their king? And why do they do that? Because they bear the mark and carry his authority to speak on his behalf. And further, we need to reflect on the fact that ambassadors are not born into the role. They're chosen, trained, branded, and sent. If Rainer is to speak with the authentic voice of Jesus, then this is a process that needs your support. And that is one reason why you get invited to services like this, that you can support the action that is being taken for her and on her behalf. There are differing identifiable groups gathered in this church today to mark Rainer's baptism. There's the general congregation that meets here week in and week out, led by its ordained ministers. There's Rainer's parents and her grandparents, and there are her godparents. But we are all here that we can witness the marking of Rainer and share in her commissioning on behalf of Jesus. And it's in the commitments made by each of these groups in this service to this child that the presence of God and the completion of that branding takes place. People in those different groups are actually asked to assent to the fact that Rainer is to become an ambassador of Christ. This is not a passive process. It's active. It's dynamic. It's interactive. For all those who speak the words on her behalf, there is a responsibility before the king to fulfill the words that you speak. The words you speak are an acceptance of the responsibility to engage in training her to be that ambassador for her king that we commission her to do today, so that she may find a voice through the experiences that you give her to speak authentically on behalf of Jesus. And if she is to grow in this ambassadorial role, she needs every one of you who gathered in this church for this service today to take that responsibility to heart. Empower her to speak words. Long after the boundaries of my life are gone, Rainer will speak Jesus, because today she is commissioned as an ambassador of Christ and marked out to that role in her life. And because those who care for her and love her, recognizing the wonders of such a calling, continue in their own faithfulness to the words that they speak in this service, so that in her all things may come to good. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.